Thank you for making the effort. It's very cozy. And thank you, worship team, for such a great job and coming out on such a cold day. I can hear that, yeah. Is that too loud or is that okay? Is that better? Okay, thank you. When we were at the preacher's meeting this week, me and Gary, we were talking about a topical message for the new year, and not a great fan of topical messages. When we systematically go through the books of the Bible, we have a passage, and that's what we are left with. So it's a little harder to be totally true to Scripture, because it can be exploited by bringing scriptures here, there, and everywhere. But we don't do that at ICS. But I found it a little challenging. And we were speaking about the New Year's resolutions and looking back on the past year, reflecting upon our victories, upon perhaps our failings, and the good times, the sad times, and everything that a year brings. And it's really good and positive to reflect upon that and probably come up with a few New Year's resolutions and so on and so forth. And for a few days, that was my sermon until I changed it. And I just couldn't get along with it, because it ended up with a list of to-dos. And I think the Bible is so much richer. So I started praying, reflecting, looking back on my own experience and the experience I had in ministry, a teen challenge, and the experience I've had in the church back in Wales and also here in Macedonia. And I was thinking that tomorrow always arrives. Ready or not, tomorrow always arrives. And what does that look like? Well, as you know, some of you may know, I'm quite, I wouldn't say obsessive, but I'm a little clockwise. I have to watch myself. I think it's a British trait. And the Lord certainly has a sense of humor bringing me to Macedonia, where everything is, oh, later, later, later. So I'm started thinking back, and I'm making a slow introduction into my sermon, so please bear with me. Going right back when we were children, and time seemed a totally different thing than it is when you're an older guy like me. I remember in the UK, I'm sure you have summer holidays in the States or wherever part of the world you come from. But we used to break up for school in the summer, in the last 2 weeks of July, and we'd have the whole month of August as a break. Let me get rid of this chewing gum, it's quite rude, sorry. And this 6 weeks holiday we had seemed like a lifetime when I was a child, and I really loved the holidays. I wouldn't say I disliked school, because that was untrue, but I really loved the holidays and this big adventure that was in front of me. And this 6 week, it seemed like a lifetime when you were a child. And I don't know, looking back, and Gary and I were speaking about 2016, and it just seems like yesterday it was July, and then a few days ago it was January. It's gone by so fast. And I think time is such an elusive, strange, mysterious thing. The older you get, the faster it passes us by. And that is really, really true. I can really remember that. So the New Year's resolutions, I don't think they're a bad thing, but do we really take them seriously? Because I don't think I do. Brian and I, Brian Richards, we were going to join a gym 5 years ago. And guess what? Still haven't joined one. I think Brian did, but I didn't. And that was one resolution that we made. So, I think the mystery of time, it can trick us, it can catch us out, because the Bible tells us that we're made in God's image. And this is a very important thing. God has placed eternity in the heart of man, in the heart of mankind. He's placed eternity. So within our spirits, we don't really grow up. We have this sort of Peter Pan thing, if you like, because God has placed eternity within our hearts. But through the fall of mankind and sin entering our experience, death entered. So even though we have eternity within our hearts, we're limited for our time here on earth. And I think that catches us out. I think that really catches us out. And the mistake and the conclusion that we come up with is that we have lots of time. And we really don't. We really don't. Psalm 39 says, "You indeed have made my days short in length, and my lifespan is nothing in your sight. Yes, every mortal man is only a vapor." Some translations say phantom. In Psalm 103, verse 15, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." I remember way back when I was a young guy, and it only seems like yesterday, when I passed my driving test, before we had these EU cards, we used to have a paper license, Imperial Great Britain. If I can hardly see it, which I can just about make, the 13th of the 10th, 1981, I passed my driving test. And when I got my license through the post, it expired, wait for it, I can hardly see it, the 4th of the 12th, 2033. When I was 70. And I'm 17 years old, looking at this license and thinking, that is a million years away. It's 2017. Not that far away, is it? And I remember the day I passed my test. Time, it catches us out. I think it's one of the enemy's best tricks. He whispers to us that we have plenty of time. And the truth is, we don't. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." I think some translations say about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Procrastination is the thief of time. Procrastination. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. I see this phenomena, this thing, this procrastinating. I encounter it in my own experience. I see it at work. I see it all around me. And it's something that I've worked through for many years, trying to understand it, trying to overcome it. So I want each and every one of us, because we all procrastinate to some extent, some more than others. You know, we only have to think about children. You say, clean your rooms, and you'll soon know about procrastination, because they'll make every excuse not to do that. So I want to ask a question that each and every one of us can think of something that we should have done in 2016, that we know we should have done, but for some reason we didn't start it. Now I want to ask ourselves a question. Why did we put it off? Why do we do it? Why do we procrastinate? Tomorrow always arrives. Today, we're 1 year closer to death than we were yesterday. And 1 year closer to death than we were yesterday. We're all in a queue, friends. But because eternity is in the heart of man, we don't think about it. Or we choose not to think about it. We procrastinate thinking about it. But the fact is that we're all born to live, and since sin has entered our experience, we're all in a queue to die. To meet Jesus, we're 1 year closer to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and our Saviour. We're 1 year closer to Him returning for His church. So, at the start of 2017, I wanted to do a sermon on procrastination. The Webster's Dictionary defines it to put off intentionally and habitually something we should know that we should do. That we intentionally put something off. Now, some of you may be a lot more disciplined than some others than me, perhaps, and you don't procrastinate. Well, God bless you, and well done. But some of us seriously do procrastinate. And I was wondering why we do that. Because procrastination is a symptom. It is not the issue. It's not about better time management. It's not about a to-do list. Even though those things are good, it's deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. Procrastination is the absence of progress. And it can manifest in many ways in our lives, and not just through work. I think procrastination is a lie. It's a real lie. And the gain that we receive, the relief from stress that we gain from procrastinating, is very short-lived. Because the pressure to complete the task is far more than the stress that we relieve from not doing it. It really increases and comes back to bite us, and it almost frees us. The relief gained is not worth the grief, and also some self-loathing for not achieving what we set out to do. My sister Nancy, she was a very intelligent, academic, and articulate woman. But she was a chronic procrastinator. And it used to drive me mad. But it was deep, deep rooted. And eventually, it even cost her her life. When she was diagnosed with cancer, it was so late that they couldn't do anything about it. But she had this fear of not going to the doctor. She knew she was ill. She told me. I spoke to a cancer specialist that came over with Dr. Andy, and he said there is no way on this earth that she would not have known at least 18 months before at this stage that something seriously was wrong with her. But this procrastination, this fear, didn't have any logic. It was nothing to do with intelligence. But this deep-rooted fear stopped her from going to see a doctor. And this could have been easily treated. Very easily. If it was caught early enough. So it's a real serious business. Procrastination, it's a thief. It can rob us even of our very life, taken to the extreme. She suffered, all of us did, more so a husband and a children without a wife or a mother. And I think she had an immature, unrealistic picture of God. That God would wave a magic wand and heal her. When she had it in her own wisdom to get treatment. I think we need to be mature. I think we procrastinate because we're immature. Or we have an unrealistic picture of our Saviour. God will not do what we can do. He will do the supernatural, but we must do what we can do. He will not do it. He will help us every step of the way. And for a long time, I was quite angry at God that God would allow my sister to die at such a young age of such a horrendous disease. Why didn't you warn her, oh Lord? Why didn't you tell her? Why didn't you prompt her? Why didn't you push her? And he reminded me of the time when I was doing a degree years ago, way before the cancer. And I was doing a paper or writing something on procrastination. And he brought back a Skype call I had with her. I sent her all these materials. I prayed with her. I tried to help her. And God clearly showed me that he was reaching out to her through me, and I'm sure in many other areas. But she just froze. And it was so annoying. But the Lord said, "You're the same." And I found that very difficult. But there were certain areas in my life that I couldn't face, and I would avoid, and I would procrastinate. And I pray that we all become mature and look at the deep reasons each and every one of us may face these reasons why we do such a thing. Going back to Ephesians, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Looking at this in the original language, Paul tells us to redeem the time. Take time, which is part of a fallen, sinful world, a system, and convert it into something good and useful. That this time God has given us is so precious that we wouldn't be foolish enough to waste it, thinking we have so much time when we're not even promised tomorrow. We must redeem it. We must act. Going back to what I said, God will not do supernaturally what we can do naturally, what he's gifted us to do. Procrastination is a thief of time. Why do we procrastinate? Now, I've just put up 5 simple points, and there is many, and hopefully these cover the big basis, the most. And I think one perhaps is uncertainty. It's just sometimes we can't make up our mind. The Bible warns us about being double-minded. If we have different options, several options, and we can't make up our mind, it can freeze us that we don't do anything. That we can't choose what to do, we'd rather do nothing. We can't even get started, we're frozen. I think all of this procrastination boils down, every single point I'm going to make today, about maturity and about who we are and our identity in Christ Jesus. I think that overcomes every single point I'm going to make today. So I'll lay that out from the get-go. Who we are in Jesus Christ enables us to overcome. any of these points that I'm going to make that we may procrastinate. If we're double-minded, we're unsure. If we don't have a peace, I think peace is a perfect plumb line that God gives us in our experience. Even in difficult times. Right now, my mum has been taken in emergency hospital in the UK. She's 89. She's in the autumn years of her life. Her potassium levels in her blood are pretty high. Her kidneys are failing. We applied for a fast-track visa for Maya, and we'll probably be leaving in the next few days. But I have a perfect peace. My mum knows the Lord. She's a beautiful lady. She's never got over losing my sister, her daughter. And I'm not saying that she's going to pass away. I'm not saying that. But her time is closer this year than it was last year. This day than it was. But I have a peace knowing that I'll see her before she goes. And I know she knows the Lord. And I will see her again where there's no more death, no more pain. And I'm not burying her, friends. But this is a probability that if it doesn't happen now, it could happen quite soon. So having that peace is a good measure. And I think that is about our relationship with God and knowing who we are in God. And we do that by reading His Word, getting to know Scripture, memorizing Scripture, meditating upon Scripture, and allowing the Holy Spirit, God, here with us to talk back to us, having a relationship with God. I'll overcome as being double-minded and unsure about anything that may present itself in this life. Because He's an ever-present help in time of need. I think this is another big one. The fear of man. I think this is really big in our day and age, in the age of the internet and social media, particularly for younger people and children. I think as your parents and guys with kids, and even for ourselves, that we can become slaves to Facebook and live in a false sense that we want to get a like from somebody else, that we put a photograph up and we base our identity, if you like, upon somebody else, that we would give our identity over whether somebody likes me or dislikes me. And I really love the internet. I love Facebook. It helps us communicate with family back home. And it's a great tool, but I think it can possibly be used for bad. That some long as we know what God thinks about us, that's the important thing. Who we are in Jesus Christ. Not what somebody else thinks about us. What fear of somebody else's opinion of us would control how we think, feel. And that could come around. It sounds so easy and logical when I'm speaking it, but these rivers run deep within us, and these insecurities can be brought about through many different ways. And I believe the way to overcome this is knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. And if the Father is pleased with us, you know, some people will like us and some people will dislike us. Well, as long as God loves us, that's what counts. And we're family, the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters. And we really need to reach out to each other. And with our hopes, with our dreams, with our fears, with our failures. Because we're all undergoing the same temptations, trials and struggles. Despite what we may look like on the outside. And part of that is being vulnerable. I'm not saying we just open up to anybody. You need to have closer friends that you can do that. But the body of Christ is a safe place to do that. If you're not plugged into some home groups, I would really encourage you to do that, to meet up with close friends that can pray for one another and help overcome this terrible thing that keeps people in bondage. And I think another one that I used to struggle with, which is really crazy when I look back, being a perfectionist. If I wouldn't do a task so perfect, I would actually tear it up. I remember doing wallpapering in an apartment I used to live in. It took me about a week to do a wall that size. And I sat down. I don't know, I think I smoked a joint and looked at it. And I seen a little, just a tiny half millimeter that was out. And I tore it down and, you know, to try and line it up. And I tore all the wallpaper. So for about 6 months, I had a big rip in the wallpaper, rather than half a mil that nobody could ever... It sounds so stupid, I know. But there's only one perfect person, and that's Jesus Christ. So, whatever we do, it's not perfect. So finding an acceptable level of imperfection. An acceptable level of imperfection. And for me, that was a big thing. It sounds funny, but I would get into a state that I wouldn't do anything at all. And it's just a lie. You know, it's better to do something imperfect and try. So who was I afraid to impress? You know, it's really shallow when you take it to its to the end. So perfectionism is not a good thing. We live in an imperfect world. And, yeah. Maybe you got A grades in your exams when you were younger, and then you put pressure on yourself. Everything you do has to be an A. It doesn't. Just do the best you can with the time that you've got. God loves you. God accepts you. And this is something that probably gets me the most. That I procrastinate when I'm overwhelmed. And doing two full-time jobs in 6 days is a real challenge at the moment. I thank you for your patience with me, because obviously during this period I cannot do everything I want to do at ICS, because 3 days a week I manage a small software company. So I see it myself that when our plate is too full, it freezes me out. I just don't get started on certain things, and I put them off and off, and then at the last minute, everything is under pressure. I think we need to learn to say no. And that's rich coming from me, isn't it? But I think we need to learn to say no. And that's all right. We're not God. We can't do everything. So I think the older you get, hopefully, the more relaxed you get in your own skin, and you're free enough to say no. So being overwhelmed. I think particularly when I procrastinate at work, because I work on a laptop in most of my work, I can surf the net. And that is a real time bandit. You know, you might be doing some legitimate research for whatever it is, whether it's for a sermon, or whether it's for software, or whether it's for whatever it is. But you've hit a link, and all of a sudden, hours have passed by, but you still haven't done what you wanted to do. And then you start to dislike yourself, and get angry at yourself, and get disappointed. And this is a loop that can go around. There's a software called Rescue Time. It's a very small app. It's on Windows and Mac. You can sign up for it free, and it'll give you a weekly schedule where you spend your time online. I use it. It won't solve your procrastination. It won't solve it, but it'll show you where you're wasting all your time. And the last one is probably the most obvious one, laziness. And this is probably more for guys, because we're born lazy, aren't we, as guys? Sometimes we just don't do it because we don't want to do it, because we'd rather do something more pleasurable. And I think this is just immaturity. The Bible tells us there's a time for everything under the sun. And there's a time to play and there's a time to work. And we just got to grow up and just do it. Like the Nike ad says, just do it. I think we sometimes try to treat the cause rather than the root. So the root of the issue, I believe, is identity in Christ. And at this point, I wrote down, if anybody hasn't trusted in Christ, and they're putting it off, thinking that they've got time and time to do this, but I know you guys here have all placed your trust in Christ, so I'm not going to labour that point. So this is one of the scriptures that I think is very helpful. This is in John, and it's a scripture where Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. And when he's finished, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He asked them, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Now this is the key for the whole message today. "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I don't think we need any more New Year's resolutions, even though they're not a bad thing. Please don't misunderstand me. It's great to reflect back and to look what we could improve on and change, and all that is good and positive. I don't think we need another conference. I don't think we need another course. As mature Christians that I know most of you are, that I know personally, if not all of you, we just need to do what we already know we should be doing. And I hope if you do experience procrastination like me, that some of these points have helped. So the conclusion, very quickly. Overcoming uncertainty is our identity in Jesus Christ, that we're not double-minded, that we're not blown around, and that we have peace in God by reading his word and being mature and complete, not lacking anything. To overcome the fear of man, in the Proverbs, it warns us, it proves to be a snare. But we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love and a sound mind. And overcoming perfectionism, only God is perfect. This is something we really need to repent of, because it's such a prideful thing if we could do anything perfect. And I think that boils down to a little immaturity on my part. Hopefully I've dealt with most of that. I've realized I'm far from perfect, certainly ever since I've been married anyway. And being overwhelmed, I think all of us need to learn to say no. And the older you get, sometimes that is easier to do, sometimes it isn't. And if we are overwhelmed by tasks and we ever feel overwhelmed, for the first time I will talk about time management. Just break them down into measurable pieces and start. Just write yourself a to-do list and just start, and let your eager willingness to finish the task that you've started, and God will help you. He really will. He helps me all the time. And the laziness, well, just do it. There's a time for everything, a season under the sun. And work is a part of that. This is something I used many years ago. And it's who I am in Jesus Christ. It's just a very simple printout of our identity in Christ, written out as I'm accepted, I'm secure, and I'm significant. And it comes from the book by Dr. Neil Anderson. And it starts out with something, I'm a child of God, I'm a disciple, I'm a friend of Jesus Christ, I've been justified, I've been declared righteous, I'm united with the Lord, and I'm one with him in spirit. And it goes on about our security, that we're free from condemnation. We have this pinned to a mirror in our house where we put on our coat. I had this on my shaving mirror 20 years ago. And it's the Word of God. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I think once we fully comprehend our identity in Jesus Christ, we will procrastinate less and less and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Thank you very much. Amen.